Wait till I tell my wife about this one.
It's verbal abuse. It's bullying.
Is there any other public comment?
My name's Saul Jacobs, 2 North Harding. I'm just trying to understand, I guess, to the bottom line, where does the buck stop? Where is the accountability? And it's just an honest question. I'm naive to this. Maybe I need a primer. But it's my understanding that you appointed the planning board. Is that correct?
That is correct.
The 10 or 9 people that are on the planning board?
That is correct.
Do they report to you?
No.
Once they make a decision?
No, they're independent.
They're independent. So they're not voted in. You folks are, right? They could do whatever they want regarding the planning of the city of Margate, and you have no real say over that. Is that correct?
They recommend to the Board of Commissioners for approval.
And we have the final vote. Right.
And just so I understand, is it this group that put to bid who is going to draw up the ultimate master plan, and they bid it out and they chose a hospitality group to make that decision? Is that correct, or am I?
That is correct.
That is correct.
The hospitality group was a part of a conglomerate.
Sure.
A bunch of professionals.
Sure. Does any of this sound weird to anybody?
No, sir. Your questions are very good. I appreciate your questions.
Thank you.
And the truth is, there's a state law that every 10 years, every municipality in a state has to revisit. You don't have to write a new master plan. You have to upgrade it. Make changes according to zoning and stuff that changed all through the years. Just like FEMA, federal regulations made us raise houses to a certain level to be more sustainable. So all that is a process every 10 years. And 10 years prior, they went through this whole thing before. Mm-hmm. And it's a recommendation that comes. The planning board does their due diligence. I attended the meeting. I think there was only probably 3 people in the room besides the planning board members. But that wasn't the only meeting they discussed it. It was discussed at several meetings. And they make the recommendation to this board to enact the ordinance, because then it becomes law. So you understand
it. I do understand it. Thank you very much for that.
And then when we went out for bid, we don't have control of who bids. We took,
sure.
By law, we have to take the lowest reputable price.
Well, that a bid is a strange thing. It's not necessarily, there's other issues. There's qualitative issues into a bid, too. So it's not somebody who says...
Politics?
You
don't,
what?
Oh, I thought you said politics. Politics.
No, I didn't say...
Sorry, I apologize. Yeah.
So getting back to my initial question, and by the way, I would like 48 seconds left.
You got it.
While the gentleman was speaking. But getting back, thank you very much. Getting back to my question, doesn't it seem fishy that your board, your planners, have come up with this master idea of putting in a hotel, other kinds of hospitality things, based on a self-interest group that they hired and paid to employ this policy? Has anyone even thought about the conflict of interest that exists here?
It's just not, I understand what you're trying to get to, but it's not there. The amount of work that went into that master plan, I don't think anybody here comprehends the time and effort that those groups went through and the amount of work that went into that plan, all the things that they looked at, all the time that they spent. And these were paid professionals, there were volunteers, there were many, many, many focus groups, and a lot of time and effort went into that master plan. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Do we have to follow it? Absolutely we don't. Is it something legally that we had to do? Yes. The idea, and I want to say, the lead firm on the master plan, one of the principals in the firm has lived in Margate longer than the mayor and Commissioner Amadeo has.
Trump's lived in New York a long time.
So all I'm saying is that If he were here, you would. If, sir, if he were here, you would not disrespect him. And the idea is that they had an idea. They came up with it. In my understanding, is that they came up with an idea in that zone that we have 9600, we have the Island House, we have Margate Towers, and the idea that that zone is a hotel condo zone was not too far fetched for them. Now, like I said before, because you don't want, and maybe I wouldn't want something built in something built in my backyard.
Hospitality
said,
no. That is paid.
It's not hospitality.
Don't want it, Mr. Blumberg.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. And there are a lot of there are things that I don't want. There are things that you don't want. There are things that Johanna doesn't want. We all have things that we want, and we just let me finish.
Sure.
The idea, I'm just trying to explain to you where the idea came from in the master plan. If, in fact, somebody, like I said before, somebody wanted to build something in that zone, there is a whole myriad of approvals and notifications that they would have to go through. None of that happened. None of it's going to happen. And if it ever did happen, the proper channels would be followed and people would be notified. So we're all, and I don't want to make light of it. It, for me, it's much to do about nothing. Nothing's going to be built there. We've killed it. And hopefully you all can go home, go to Ventura's and get a drink.
Okay. Thank you.
Not a bad idea.
Thank you.
Sir, you're one time only here. We have too many people who want to speak, okay? Let's see if anybody else wants. Is there anyone else for public comment? Thank you.
I'm not really a speaker. I had no intention of speaking, so I'm not going to get into a big thing, except for I agree with, you know, what's behind me. What I am concerned about is
Can we get your name and address, please?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Joan Dosick at 9600. But my concern is that this whole transparency thing and people seem to not know what's going on and, you know, the whole, you've heard the whole thing. Then it's like, talked about the press. People don't read the press. I honestly am not going on the website every single day. Is there something that can be put out there for all of us and then let us know somehow that everybody should know where do we go, what do we look at, so nobody has to feel that anything's being hidden or things aren't transparent? That's kind of, you know, I think an important thing to all of us. So we feel differently.
Ma'am, if you have a better idea than our website, please let us know.
I'll give it some thought.
Mike, if I may, how about this for an idea? How about this for an idea? So, again, you can all go home. If, perchance, we're ever going to discuss a hotel overlay zone again, we will mail the entire city a notice. We will put in the mail. The entire city will be notified. How's that?
And generally other things. I mean, and if I do come up with an idea, I'll speak to other people. I don't have one right now. I will, I promise, get back to you with some ideas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the whole city?
Hold on. Name and address, please.
Randy Hervitz, 9300 Atlantic
Avenue.
Can you
get a microphone, please?
Randy Hervitz, 9300 Atlantic Avenue, the Shore Club. Thank you for bringing that up, Mr. Blumberg, about the Ventura situation. Our balcony actually faces Lucy's behind, and our granddaughters love that. As you said, it is not a secret about Lou. They're very hardworking people, Barb and Lou, and they are entitled to their livelihood, and we understand that. Over the years, whether they were rumors or not, you know, we have heard, obviously, we are a three-story building. We're not 9600. We're not Island House. We're not 9400. We're a three-story building. And we have heard about the supposed meetings and zoning, you know, asking for zoning changes. And we've always heard, no way, it's not going to happen. My question is this, and you keep saying we're not, you know, is it a condo? We've heard that he wanted, to sell it to a condo before. It's a hotel overlay now. I guess you have tried to reassure us that you understand that building even a condo, 8 stories, 9 stories, would be very inappropriate for that environment because of the traffic, because of the infrastructure. And it would change, obviously. For example, there are lifeguard stands at Washington and Cedar Grove. You'd have to even address issues of that nature. So I'm happy to hear that right now we're tabling it or, you know, not going to visit it for a while. But it's always there in the back of, in the back burner for us because it would really impact our 3-story building, our aesthetics. And a lot of people make fun of us for caring about aesthetics. We had a double whammy this year. Okay, they used our front of our pool area for the storage of the excess sand and dunes. We understood that perhaps someone mentioned that they dredged too much and they certainly didn't want to just get rid of the extra dune grass. This was a story going around, so they had to store it somewhere. And the first few weeks that they did this, some of our residents on the first floor, if you're aware of our building, the first floor on the beach is undergrade. They didn't even have cell phone service. And you did take care of that by getting this a little bit back from our building so then they could get their cell phone service. So the big picture is, I guess, when we saw the golfing go in, we thought, whoa, that looks like a boardwalk. That's not miniature golf of the old days. That's a whole different ballgame, Congo Falls. So we started to put things together, what's going on with this master plan. You've heard everybody today, but again, I guess the transparency is the issue. And we've always felt that from the other meetings that we heard about, the zoning planning or whatever, that that condo at Ventura's was not going to happen. But we talked once before about a boardwalk. You never know, okay? So, again, we just want transparency, and I appreciate all the work you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Commissioners, my name is Linda Gockler. I'm at 120 North Lancaster Avenue, and I thank you very much for tabling the ordinance. Now, what are we going to do about Richard Helfont and Lucy? Question? Please think about it.
What are we going to do?
Linda, we've already said Mr. Helfant doesn't work for the city. We've had this conversation before.
So. Okay, so how about, I know that Lucy is a historic landmark
Correct.
In Margate, and it's leased on that property from Margate?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are we going to do about that? Because the rumor that I heard that really upset me besides the hotel was that Lucy was going to be moved.
Never. I never saw that at all
it's
until it was in the newspaper.
I knew it was a rumor.
We had this, you know.
But what can we do? Again, my first question.
Linda, she's too heavy to lift.
I know.
I don't think you can make another move.
But going back, what are we going to do about Richard Helfont and Lucy?
Well, you can. Oh, okay. I've been asked to ask you if there's a possibility that Margate can extend the lease on Lucy. Will you commit to extending that? It's not coming from me, but thank you very much for the information. Will you commit to extending the lease?
We're really going somewhere I really didn't want to go, but I will tell you this. The city has been trying to negotiate a new lease with Lucy for years. It has never come to fruition. We've negotiated with a committee, we've negotiated with attorneys, with accountants, and all that. Lucy has chosen to never sign a lease. We've never come to any kind of an agreement, but we are in the process of trying again. Their lease is not up till 2019.
Rich, Mike, before Mr. Dini speaks, since it seems like Margate cannot control what's happening at Lucy, do you have any suggestions what the citizens can do?
Rich?
I think there's a mix-up still among some people with respect to Lucy. Lucy sits on city property. Lucy is a national landmark. Lucy's going nowhere. The Save Lucy Committee doesn't own Lucy. Richard Helfand doesn't own Lucy. They've worked to promote Lucy as a nonprofit for a long time. They have a lease with the city. The lease is complicated, like a lot of leases are complicated. It's in existence now, and it's in existence till the end of 2019. There will be ongoing negotiations with respect to the terminologies and the content of that lease. The city supports that organization and Lucy in many, many ways. Frank is over here, our public works director. We get called weekly to make repairs on portions of that property, not Lucy itself, but the rest of that property. We are in total sync with preserving Lucy. No matter who operates Lucy or what group of people operate Lucy, Lucy is the city. The city's obligation is to continue Lucy forever and ever. So nobody needs to fear that Lucy's going anywhere. It's not. There's just as much of a commitment that they made before. They've made many times here. Lucy's part of the city, and it's owned by the city. It's not owned by a nonprofit corporation. It's owned by the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda, also for the entire audience, today is our new version of a newsletter went out, and it addresses that subject. So you can see that's on the second page about Lucy and some of that. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be heard again. If you need my name and address again, it's Elliot Chack, 9511 Beach Avenue. At the beginning of the meeting, I pretty much said that I was in favor of starting a political funding effort to try to oppose the current commissioners for office. And I want to be clear, because some of the rhetoric here has gotten heated, that I didn't come here to support such an idea because I believe the very negative personal characterizations that have been thrown at you guys today. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that we should be engaging in conspiracy theories on either side. I don't want to stand here and give you the idea that I think you've done anything untoward. I just think you're wrong in even considering this. I will tell you what I'm left bothered by. Clearly, as leaders of this community, and you've heard the community speak today, and that's why you withdrew that, which I appreciate, and I want to thank you for withdrawing the ordinance. But increasingly, and later in the meeting, you guys did come under attack in a negative way. And I think we don't want to do that. I think we all want to be better than that. So I guess my question is, the reaction we've gotten, or at least I've observed, is you've gotten angry and defensive. And that's unfortunate. And I, at some level, understand it from some of the comments. But the reason everyone's here, and the reason we are so angry, is because somewhere along the lines, as leaders, you lost control of the message. And somewhere along the lines, leaders, your constituents became infuriated. And there's questions about transparency and process and how this was handled. But I've yet to hear any of you say, we're sorry this got out of hand. And to say, we know we made you angry, and we apologize and promise we will endeavor. I think you've made some good suggestions about mailing out to everyone. But I'd really like to hear you admit that you lost control of the situation. And that's why we're all here and why we're so angry. That the idea is not only wrong, but the communication has become twisted. And now there's a lot of mistrust in this audience. Okay, I'm still not sure. I've got to talk to the people tonight about whether or not we're going to continue to oppose your reelection. And I'll do that. We'll have a fair discussion on it. But I'd really like to, from a leadership perspective, believe in you guys enough to see you say, you know, this was something we probably should have handled differently. Thank you.
Thank you.
Len Wahlberg, 9100 Atlantic. I'm a little bit confused still. Just a few minutes ago, Mr. Blumberg, you said, don't worry, nothing will be built there. I assume you mean the property that we were talking about. Earlier, when I asked you if you people would be opposed to a high-rise condo, there was no answer. Is there any further refinement that I'm not able to pick up on that question?
Are you talking about my comment, sir?
No. The comment was made by Mr. Blumberg. I'd like to hear something.
I'm not real sure what wasn't clear. There is no hotel overlay zone.
Understood.
Okay. If someone comes in front of the planning board, they will have to follow the procedures of the planning board. Their application will be heard, and the planning board then makes decisions. So that's whether it's in your neighborhood or my neighborhood or John's neighborhood or anybody here's neighborhood, people have that right. We give them that right to make an application to be heard by the planning board. That will not change. We cannot change that.
I understand that, but okay. That has nothing to do with my question.
So then I don't understand.
Okay, let me try again. If an application is made to you,
wouldn't be made to me. It would be made to the planning board.
It wouldn't be made to this board.
It would be made to the planning and zoning board. It would have to follow the guidelines of that zone that the people live in. If not, they ask for variances.
But they do have to get approval from you, do they not?
They do not.
Oh, no. They do not.
No.
So, in other words, had they approved this last proposal that we're withdrawing, that would have gone forward.
No.
They would have had to go to the planning board, sir. I think what Mr. I'm going to try to interpret
Please.
What Mr. Blumberg's saying
Thank
because
you.
Somehow you're not communicating effectively. Again, I'm the city administrator. I've only been here 6 years, but I've been a city administrator in New Jersey for 47 years. Same laws wherever I've been, same laws the state of New Jersey. Everybody has a right to make an application for anything you want. You could build the Empire State Building and make an application for it. In order to do that, if it doesn't comply with the ordinances, which these people make, the ordinances, they do make the ordinances. If it doesn't comply with the ordinance, which a hotel or a high-rise of a certain type wouldn't qualify in most any zone in Margate or any zone that I know of, you still can ask for variances. Variances are very difficult to get. The law, again, is a statewide law on how you get variances. But in order to get a use variance, it would require a supermajority of the board to approve it, number one. And number two, it's subject to legal dispute by anybody, including citizens around, that could dispute they can't arbitrarily just give a variance. The variance has to have strong reasons behind it of why that's a logical thing to do. Most of the time, a variance is given because it's an odd-shaped piece of property, because the circumstances are such that I can't build otherwise, I am entitled to use my property. That's what variances are for. This group doesn't give variances. This group sets the parameters, which you should pay attention to, which you are paying attention to, of the parameters that are the basic parameters of what can be built in the zone. So while Mr. Blumberg says Mr. Ventura can still come in and try to build a high-rise hotel, he would have to seek all kind of variances to do that. In addition, go to CAFRA, in addition to do all the other things. So Mr. Blumberg can't promise you, nor I, or the mayor, or anybody else, that Mr. Ventura won't still try to do it.
So whose decision was it to withdraw the...
This board heard you last meeting.
Right.
And I talked to them individually, And they said, how can we resolve this? We decided by individually me talking to them and talking to the solicitor, let's get the word out now that we're going to, we heard you last time, and we're hearing you again. I think that's why the credibility, that they should have credibility with you, even though it's, you know, we should all start with a basis of trust. You all live here, they all live here. They heard in good faith what you asked them to do.
But don't you think that the same exact feeling would be in this group if a high-rise, a 20-story high-rise were to be built on that?
That's not permitted in the zone, right? There's no high-rise permitted. So the same thing, whether it's a 20-story condo,
so
they answer your question, the same thing for a condo or a hotel.
So the same answer should come back out.
And you know what? The mix-up comes a little bit. Condo hotel is a funding mechanism, okay? Just so people understand. A condo hotel is a funding mechanism where individual owners own rooms or suites in the hotel because nobody's funding a hotel in Margate. It's almost impossible to get a funding. I'm familiar with people who are trying to build a hotel in Ocean City for 10 years. They can't get funding. It's a three-month season here, folks. It's not a 12-month season. What Marriott did you ever see in a place with a three-month season? We can hardly keep castles open here. You can't keep a hotel open here. So let's kind of, you know, put this into perspective here. So there's no hotel or condo that can be built without variances in that zone.
Let me just leave you with this. My opinion is that a high-rise condo would be, you would get the same reaction from this crowd as you got with the hotel. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good answer.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Rich.
Roxanne Tosto, 9100 Beach. I just have a question. What is the height restriction now for buildings in the city? Do we know that? Do you guys know that question?
Roger.
The answer to that question?
37 feet.
What is...
It depends whether it's commercial or residential, and it's based on your base load elevation.
Okay, and so if it's commercial...
At 34 feet above your first floor elevation.
Okay, so I guess getting back to, and some of the questions were already answered, the fact that if there was ever... That would be a significant change if we were to go to a 20-story building. But you brought up something interesting. With your comments, I'm even wondering why this commission would even have entertained the thought of the hotel overlay. And I understand that you guys work very hard. I understand all your department heads work extremely hard. It's a beautiful city, and we do certainly appreciate it. But you have to look at the way we're looking at it. It looks funny to us that you picked that particular area, and it's all built except for one parcel of land. And as you said, Commissioner Blumberg, was the fact that, you know, everybody's been hearing Mr. Ventura talk about all these plans. I'm only here 5 years, and it's been in the back of everybody's mind for at least 5 years, and it just... Whether you want to believe it or not, because I can see the look you're giving me, it doesn't appear to look right. Why was that zone picked? Because there was only one parcel of land. And the other thing that really bothers me since I've moved here is the parking situations, how we allow people to park illegally all over Atlantic Avenue is beyond belief. And how we could entertain that. The overflow from a larger building than what's there now, that area could absorb any more cars. The city has done nothing as far as parking. And I don't know how you don't see, when you have to pull out from your streets, what a safety hazard that is. And it is beyond me that the thought process for this might have had a good beginning, but somehow it got lost. And I think that's what everybody's been angry from the fact that it didn't look like anybody making this decision really knew the community. whether you want to think that or not, but I seriously think you need to look at your parking situation. And the other issue we never even talked about was COA, which is another bear unto itself.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Carol Christensen again. You know, there's something that has puzzled me ever since I started attending these meetings when I bought a house here, because I grew up here also, and my family's been here for like 200 years. But it was very peculiar to me that the composition of the planning board was made up, it's kind of stacked it with the manager of a real estate office, a number of contractors, your brother-in-law, Tom, who owns the hardware store. It seems, I understand you have to have some of these people on a planning board who understand building and, you know, that sort of thing, but it seems that there should be some countervailing influences on that board and not just sort of a kind of, you know, old boys network of the guys down here who build things. So, you know, that is a fundamental thing that is of concern to me. So I don't know how you guys arrive at those decisions since you do appoint them. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi, I'll make this quick. And it sort of backs up the last questioner's comments. Can you please tell me, because I'm not a longtime Margate resident.
May I have name and address again?
Stephanie, please? Zucker Block, 4 North Brunswick Avenue.
Thank you.
How many people sit on the planning and zoning board
13.
Currently?
13.
13? And can you tell me how many of those 13 people are either builders, developers, contractors? No, I'm serious.
I have no idea.
Nobody knows what their occupation is.
I would have to look at a roster. I could tell you.
It's a very diverse board. There's a structural engineer. There's a mom. There's business owners. There is one or two contractors that I know. It's a very diverse.
Any developers that you know?
No.
Are you sure? Or
yeah.
You're just.
No, I go to a lot of planning board meetings, ma'am.
Okay, so the planning board meetings, just like these meetings, are open to the public?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Right in this room.
And how often do they meet?
Third Thursday of every month.
Third Thursday?
What?
The last Thursday of
last
every
Thursday
month?
Last Thursday of the
month. Okay. And the owner of Colmar is the head of that board?
No.
Is that correct?
The chairman of the planning board is Richard Patterson. He's been a resident in Margate for probably 68 years. I went to kindergarten with him.
Another 68-year-old.
Okay. And is Mr. Collins, Tom Collins, on that board as well?
Yes, he's a member.
Okay. Thank you.
The next planning board meeting is October 27th, and it's on the website.
September.
Ma'am, if you have a calendar, the entire planning board is listed there. It's on the website also. Sir, go ahead.
Henry Gorenstein again. Sorry.
I mean, it's September 26th. Sorry.
Name and address, please.
Henry Gorenstein, 9100 Beach. At this point, what I'm asking the commissioners and our solicitor is what can you guys do together to try and keep this from maybe ever happening? And there's one thought I had, and maybe the solicitor can help me with this. It would be for a public purpose. What if Margate City condemned the air rights over the greenhouse? Because those air rights have very little value over the 35 or 40 feet that you can build right now. That would effectively eliminate any development. What do you think?
Never heard of it. Has that been done anywhere in the state of New Jersey?
I don't know, but it's just an idea.
Okay. Well, we'll look.
Condemn the air rights. The value is like Zippo, zero, because the zoning's not in place. And that's it. That kills it forever. Would you consider that? Would you consider that idea?
It would be a far reach for me.
Why?
Just because it would be.
But it can always be. It could be released if the.
Because I don't.
It's like a park. It's a public purpose. You're helping all the residents.
I don't think that we're here to dictate that to people.
You're not dictating.
I think it would be
the zoning that's in place is there.
You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you. Let's put.
He's going to get compensated for the value. Like any other thing. It's a public purpose. It's like a park or a road widening or anything else.
There would have to be a public purpose for that.
It's a public purpose.
Okay.
It's public space. It's public airspace.
Mayor, look into it legally. I have never heard.
You have a background in development. Maybe you could find do some research.
I have. I'll send it to you because I actually do have some. It's been done. Okay. A lot, mostly around airports, but in other situations.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Tony Giacovini, 112 North Vendome Avenue. There's two things that I think should come out of this meeting. Number one, for the board, you should be a little more user-friendly with the website so that people with minimal computer skills can still search and find what they need. And you need to post in time so that people can do their own research so that they can attend the meetings with intelligent questions. The general public, and that's owners, secondary and primary, and tenants, need to educate themselves on the legal process of some of these things. Some of the questions asked today, you have no control over. There's a legal process to follow for going for a variance. You can't just come before the board and somebody says, oh, I like you, so we're going to approve it. You can't do that. There's a legal process that has to be followed, and it would help if everybody understood what the process is. The master plan starts out with a 10-year plan of where you expect your town to be in 10 years. And then you read the plan and you start making your changes. I know this because I sat on the planning board for 15 years. You do these things in order. There's a reason for everything. All the organizations that want to put something on Facebook, I don't care what your organization is, have someone appointed to attend all the meetings and come back to you and tell you what happened at that meeting so that you can form an intelligent paper to send out to your members. Not he said, she said, like we've been reading on Facebook for the last couple weeks. This is a waste of everybody's time, all this Facebook nonsense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Two North Harding. Maybe you can give me, it'll help in terms of insight for this whole thing, because I keep coming back to this and it concerns me. A few years ago, a golf course, I think it was Pirates Cove, was proposed diagonally across from Castles, and I think the people pretty much said, we don't want it. I think it was clear, and somehow it went away. That's how I recall it. Maybe it's not exactly like that. Give me some insight to how was this golf course, how did that happen? And that might help me understand how something like this could actually end up being a hotel, because I don't understand how that got there when I thought no one wanted a golf course in the area. I never heard anything about it, by the way, until construction.
Really? Yeah.
He withdrew his application.
I assume the owner went to the planning board with a proposal.
I can answer it, Mayor. They made an application to the planning board. They did public notice, which included mailed notice to property owners within 200 feet and the press. And the planning board scheduled it for their public hearing. And there was a public hearing on it. And some people came out to support it. Some people came out to object to it. And the planning board voted approval, which is the process. And so the commercial use of a miniature golf course replaced the commercial use of, I think at that time, it was a bank.
Yeah.
Used to be a bank. I don't know what the...
This happened between September and February of this past year. Excuse me?
I'm not sure when they started the process.
Maybe somebody knows. It wasn't that long ago.
It was within the last year and a half.
And not necessarily while in the summer months when people were here.
I believe the hearing was in February or March.
December.
December?
Okay,
December.
So it was kind of, quite frankly, to me, in my opinion, it seems to be backdoor. Who owns the golf course?
I don't know.
You went through all, no one knows who owns?
Adventure Golf.
Mark Benvenuto, right?
Mark Benvenuto, yes.
Benvenuto. I'm sorry.
And is he a developer of Margate Residence?
No, he owns five golf.
We're here with this ordinance.
I'm sorry.
He owns. This was the fifth one he built.
Fifth one,
He's done golf courses in shore communities. He's got two in Avalon, one in Ocean, or two in Ocean City, one in Avalon, one in Stone Harbor, and one in Margie.
Okay. Did it raise any concerns to you that if it didn't work and everyone was unhappy with it 2 or 3 years ago, that maybe if you had more exposure and information on it to the people, that they may not want this one either? Did anyone give that consideration on the commission?
Again, you're misunderstanding. You're planning for that jurisdiction.
The commission had nothing to do with that.
Thank you, sir.
It was in a commercial zone. Mm-hmm. It was a permitted use in the commercial zone. It's not a high rise. It's not.
Got it.
It's not at all like what we're talking about here.
Okay.
This board didn't have anything to say about it recently. It's whatever the zone has allowed, just like any other commercial. They could have come in and built all kind of commercial uses there, including what they built. So
there,
that's why it's
sir,
a different
sir,
procedure.
Sir, we've got a lot of
responsibility in this is they're the ones to pick the people in the zoning board, or the planning board who made
but
these
But the planning
decisions.
Board could not have denied it if it was according to the ordinance. If it was in a commercial zone, they could deny it if it was in your zone where you live, but they can't deny it there any more than they could deny a restaurant or a tailor shop or anything else that was in a commercial zone that was a permitted use.
How did the Pirate's Cove get denied? I thought that was a commercial zone, and there's actually a commercial entity there now.
I have no idea.
Sir, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight, but
well,
I will tell you, are you talking?
I guess my message is...
Sir, the Pirate's Cove uptown.
So your question was withdrawn.
The owner withdrew.
The owner withdrew. I forgot about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, please.
Ed Blumenthal, 11 South Adams. I just want to clarify, follow up with the other gentleman said, that the planning board changed the commercial designation from commercial to recreational, which was a disputed land use change. And there was never any hearing, there was never any notification to anybody within in any area that was being changed from commercial to recreational. So what you said is not correct. There was no notification.
Roger. Sir, our planner's right here.
Actually, Mr. Blumenthal, you're incorrect. That was always permitted in that zone. Proper notification was made. It's permitted use. They needed one variance. They got the variance.
And sir, the proper notification is certified mail, and we have receipts.
I'm not talking about the variances. I'm talking about the land use of changing it from commercial to recreational.
Amusement was allowed in a commercial zone.
Thank you. Still, nobody was notified.
Nothing was changed.
Jay Weintraub at 10 North Franklin Avenue. I'd like to answer the gentleman's question regarding the golf course, the Pirate's Cove. What happened? Pat Croce, along with Mark Benevento, wanted to put the Pirate's Cove between Franklin and Frontenac on Ventnor Avenue. Mm-hmm. We formed a coalition of neighbors. And that
hey,
coalition of neighbors.
We're talking about the overlay district here.
No, we're not. It's open mic, isn't it?
All right, Ed, but this is the third time. So in all due respect, if you want to privately speak to the gentleman, that would be
well,
great.
I'll bring up another point,
okay?
Which is this is going to lead to that point. Okay, so the neighbors got together, 400 of them, created a fund, a legal fund, and basically we negotiated with Pat Croce, who said, Jay, I have a lot of money. I could fight this. We said, Pat, we have 400 families and we could buy you 100 times over. A week later, they withdrew. That's what happened with that project. Now, if I can address the miniature golf course and the planning board's decision to grant a variance, I had some concerns. I was at the meetings. They passed no parking, basically, for that property, but they ignored some major structure. They assumed the only structure was a 16 by 16 clubhouse. But there's things called a CMU. Are you familiar with a CMU? A central masonry unit. There's two big central masonry units, and those two units house walkways, people can golf, and the waterfalls. There was a pump house. There were internal holes covered with structure. And all of this was ignored by the planning board. Right? My question is, why did the planning board do that? Why did they ignore the rules and grant a variance for no parking when totally ignored and didn't share with the public what the actual structure was? It wasn't fair to the people in the neighborhood. It wasn't fair to Margate. And we can't change that now because it's up. But perhaps going forward, we could, next time an opportunity comes up, we could better communicate information and share with the public so they can make decisions on what they'd like to do. Thank you.
No, we're not going three times there.
We have business.
We have a business meeting to do. Sorry. Is there any other public comment? Is there a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Mayor Becker?
Yes.
Commissioner Amadeo?
Yes.
Commissioner Blumberg?
Yes.
Thank you all for your comments. We will take them to heed. Okay. We are now, I don't know, where are we, Johanna? Help me out here.
We are open to public comment on resolutions only.
Perfect.
All right, let's go.
Turn them off.
Do you want a motion to close public comment?
Pardon me?
I'll make a motion to close public comment on resolution.
Second.
Mayor Becker?
Yes.
Commissioner Amadeo?
Yes.
Commissioner Blumberg?
Yes.
Okay, Johanna, it's up to you, baby. Ma'am, after the meeting.
Is there an agenda of what you're talking about?
I can't.
Yep, there is. Go, you can. You can.
Okay.